You could feel the tension. It was everywhere. The tension between that weird balance of fear and strength, where you don't know whether to be so confident or to tuck your tail and run. And that should be normal for the troops, but this was the king. He didn't ask to be king. I mean, let's be honest, it wasn't bad having all that power, but he didn't ask to be king. They asked for a king, and he was anointed king. And now he's in this moment of war where he's got to begin to make all the decisions that kings make. And he'd never been a king before. And how do you know how to make the right decisions when you've never been something before? They didn't have King University for the Israelites, so he didn't get to take that class in college. And there's rumor that his son had victory on the front line. And instead of that causing fear in the Philistines, it actually enraged them and made them more mad. And now they were pressing forward. And rumor came back to him that there were so many Philistines, it looked like the number of grains of sand in the sea. Can you even picture that? As far as your eye can see, one after the other, they're moving forward, pressing towards the camp. And here he sits, having to make one of the biggest decisions of his life thus far. And Samuel had commanded him, wait for me 7 days. I will come and I will light. And when I do, God will lead us into victory. Well, it had been 7 days. And you could hear the snickering. And you can see the army begin to scatter and rumors are flying. His best men are talking to him saying, what are you doing? You're the king, you make the decision. And he has to choose, do I wait to do what I know I'm supposed to do, what is the right thing, or do I buckle under the pressure of what the people want, what his people wanted? You ever been there? Were you in a circumstance? Were you being pressured a little bit into doing something? Where half of you goes, no, I'm not supposed to do that. I know what's right. I know the decision I should make. But then the pressure of the crowd, it's like a weight of bricks on your shoulder. Now, there's no bricks on your shoulder, but it feels like it's there. And you begin to literally wrestle internally with the decision to make. Do I do what I'm supposed to do? What I know inside, what I know in my knower that I'm supposed to do. I know knower's not a word, but it works. Or do I move with the crowd because it's safe and it's easy and they'll like me and it'll make me feel better, and this weight that I'm carrying, I can throw it off. And it'll go away. It's in that moment, as we've been walking through the story, that we know the decision that he made. He feared man more than he feared God, and he gave in to what they asked him to do, and it's where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 10. It says, just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling in Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled. Remember that, circle it, highlight it, write it with pen on your neighbor's. No, don't do that. I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You have done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Whew. He would have established his kingdom in Israel for all time. but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Man, I read that and I struggle. Because a lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, but when I get into the Word or I get into any kind of a story and I'm reading a story about someone else, sometimes if I'm really into the story, I'll try to place myself into that person's shoes as if I was there carrying that same weight. And when I read this story and I think through this moment, I don't know what I would have done. My first gut reaction is, I'd have done whatever God said. Whatever God said, that's what I would have done. I'd have followed his command, no problem. However, time and time and time again in my own life, I have been put in a position where I had to make a choice to follow God or do my own thing. And in that same gut where I said I was the one that would have followed God and did what he said, I didn't. When I had the choice to tell the truth and maybe suffer a consequence, I told a little white lie that didn't hurt anybody, that no one ever knew about, and it got me out of the trouble I was facing. When everything in me knew, why? Why not just be honest? And I try to put myself into Saul's position. What would I do? Would I be that almighty king that followed God's commands and did what he commanded me to do? Or would I be just like him? What about you? You put yourself in that position? Think about if you had all that pressure on you. All those people calling to you, depending on you, reaching out to you, persuading you, yelling at you. They're scattering, they're leaving. You have an army coming to defeat you. I'm not talking, you know, coming to slap you around a little bit. I'm talking coming to conquer, kill, and take you over. Whew. What would you do? And yet in this life, even though it may not be as serious as death, physically from the sword chopping your head off. Ooh. But the choice Saul made was just as serious because he disobeyed God. He didn't do what God asked him to do. There was this level of disobedience in Saul to do what he felt to do what he wanted to do what he was pressured to do. Have you ever been there? Even in the smallest little thing, not being the king of an army, but where you go, I know what God wants me to do. And I did the opposite. Whether it was fear, whether it was insecurity, or whether you're being made fun of, or whether you were trying to fit in popularity. I don't know how many times in my life I chased after popularity so hard that I'd have done next to almost anything to fit in, whether it was pleasing to God or not. And this is where we find Saul. He feared man more than he feared God. He saw God as something he could manipulate instead of something to be obeyed. He justified his sin. Remember that thing I had you circle? He felt compelled. Another way to look at compelled is like that you didn't have a choice. You had to do something. I didn't want to, but I had to. There's an old, old song that only like a third of the counselors are even going to remember, but it was a song that said, I didn't want to, but the devil made me do it. But sometimes that is how we almost justify sins. Like, I didn't want to, but something I had to, and I couldn't. Ah, I just blew it. And this is where Saul finds himself. It's a huge consequence for what seems like not that big of a deal. I mean, Samuel was gonna light or Saul was gonna, it's like, what was the difference, God? You needed it to be lit. We went and won the battle anyway. Wasn't there gonna be a victory anyway? Didn't seem like that big of a deal, but it was huge. And I think to the fact that if he would have just listened, if he would have made that what didn't seem like a big deal and would have allowed Samuel and waited no matter what the consequence. Because reality is, all of his army could have left. It could have been him standing there alone by himself. But the Creator God would have given him victory if he had followed God's commands. And sometimes that's what happens when we come to a place of where we're obedient to Christ or disobedient to Christ. Or when we allow, and this, I'm gonna throw this word out here that we're gonna talk about for the remainder of the night, but when we allow sin to rule in our life and we go after sin and we do sin, or when we say, God, even though I am a sinner, I want to be obedient to you and try to flee from it. God bless you. Actually, you're an Angels fan, I take it back. I'm kidding. It's not that big of a deal, and it was a joke, come on. Here's this thing about sin, you guys. Sin, it can be really ambiguous. And here's the battle that I think some of us face. When we hear the word sin, we do think of something crazy, something massive. Like even getting into like the Ten Commandments, you read them all, but you really focus on like murder. And when someone's like, hey, you're a sinner, you're like, well, I ain't killed anybody. Yeah, but you've told a lie. I know, but like, it's a little lie. Come on, are you kidding me? What color is my shirt? Yellow. There's a lie. I'm not going to hell. Am I? But I think we don't know what to do with sin. God bless you. You guys are going to have to stop sneezing because I'm just going to keep on doing it and it's going to be the whole sermon. How about this? God bless you for everyone. All past and future sneezes for the rest of the night. There it is. Done. I already did it. Thank you. Thank you. And you. And you. Let's end in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this. No, I'm serious. Sin can sometimes become ambiguous where we go, it's either something really, really bad or it's something. And sometimes us look at our own selves and we're like, no, I'm actually a really good person. I'm fine. I don't do those bad things. I have friends at school. Oh man, if you saw the way they talked or the things they talked about or how they acted or man, how many times they get sent to the office or whoo, the gossip, whoo, coming out of their mouth or man, the things that they said, the cuss, oh man, oh these, you don't know. If you want to talk about a sinner, I'll show you sinners. Not me, I'm a free little angel. Or like a cool, tough angel for the fellas. But the reality is this, the Bible's clear. It says, for all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. And see, sometimes we wrestle with that. I'm gonna be straight up with you guys tonight. I wrestled with that for a long time. In my mind, I was like, wait a second, I didn't eat the apple. I didn't eat the apple in the garden. That was Adam and Eve, so that's their problem. How does that become a part of me? Why is that my problem? And I struggle with it. And the reason I struggle with it is because of a deep insecurity that I wanted to be perfect. I don't want to be labeled a sinner. I don't want to have to feel like I can't be perfect or I can't be good enough. And so I battled that. And then as I walked through my life, and I shared a little bit of it with you guys last night, like I had a really crazy life. Now, again, I'm not trying to compare with any of your stories. I haven't been able to sit down with all of you one-on-one to find out what your story is. And some of you, you might have a way crazier life than I do, but mine was still rough for me. Never knowing if my dad was going to come back into the picture. Never knowing why he left in the first place. Never knowing why I got to call this guy dad and that guy dad. And my mom didn't even marry those guys. And then the one she did marry, I swore I'd never call dad. And then the third guy she married ended up being a cool dude, so I called him dad. And then luckily he's still around. Fingers crossed that lasts forever, but I don't know. And with that, moving all over the place, I got this insecurity of trying to fit in. I shared with you last night. And from that, I had this deep desire, like, I am going to figure out how to be perfect. Man, I go to church. They talk about sinners. Not me. I'm going to get away from that. And the more I tried to get away from it, the more I was face to face with the fact that we live in a broken world. We can either pretend that sin is not real, and that it's not in all of humanity from the fall of creation in the garden, and we can just like put a mask on, like, not me, not me. You know, that old song, I'm so excited. You know, it's like, I just can't hide it, and I'm not gonna, I mean, you can have, this, sorry, that, you can do that. I shouldn't be shaking too much because the mic going crazy. You can do, this is what I did. Some of you guys are like, this guy's crazy, what's he talking about? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We hear sin, we're like, oh yeah, that's that thing, not me, I don't know. And the more we begin to try to neglect it, that it's real, that it's a part of humanity, that it's a part of you and me, the harder it's going to be to have a real understanding of how to be free from it. Then I read this scripture, and this scripture really messed me up, but it made so much sense. Please listen carefully. If you're taking notes, man, scribble this down. This is not a time to fall asleep. This is a time to really grab some, because some of this stuff tonight, whoo, change your life forever. James 1, 13 through 15. I'm just going to read it to you. James 1, 13 through 15. By the way, if you ever miss a scripture, if you ever need a point or whatever, come find me anytime. I will email you my notes. I'll give you whatever you need. So don't freak out if you're like, oh, I missed it. Just come talk to me. It's one click away. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Circle either tempted or tempting. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But, oh, this is what rocked me. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire. Circle desire. And enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I'm going to talk about three things tonight that I really, through the scripture, watched Saul walk through. Temptation, desire, and sin and death. You see, temptation is a choice we make and we'll be tempted. But it's not the action. You see, Saul stood there leading that army. Can you imagine? And he's been given clear commandments, just as we've been given clear commandments to follow God and his ways and hear his voice through this right here, this word of God that's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we've been given, and he sat there with the command, wait until I come. I will light the altar. And in that moment, with all the people chattering in his ear, beginning to scatter, the temptation came upon him. Maybe I'll just do this, and then it'll fire him up, then we'll go into battle and we'll have victory, because he said he'd be here, but he's not here, and the temptation was there, and it was real, and it was strong. But see, the temptation isn't where he sinned. What are you trying to say, Rob? I'm trying to tell you the temptation is going to come your way. But if you can follow the truth of the word of God and fight temptation with the word of God, then you won't even have to cross into the area of sin that will just mess you up. Saul saw the army that surrounded him and some of the men leaving, and he failed to look at God's word. Can you imagine if he had a do-over? If he could just hit the do-over button. Boop. I'm not going to light it. I'm just going to wait for Samuel. There's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind that he wouldn't choose to have that do-over in a heartbeat. Matter of fact, would any of us ever in all time, if we had a chance to go back in time after we'd already messed up, not go back and take the chance to do it right? I would probably redo 999 things in my life, maybe more. When he was tempted, no one should say God has tempted me for it. But what is it? It's the evil desire. That was that next word I had you circle there. Desire is a decision and it drives us. Saul had that desire come over him. Do I listen to the word of God or do I go after it? So it wasn't just a temptation, but it was a desire in him. And this is where he had to wrestle with. This is where we will begin to wrestle with, because the reality is we are sinners. There is a natural inclination in us at times to make a bad decision or do something outside of the will and word of God. This desire was so strong in Saul that it moved him to pure sin, pure disobedience.
and it lost him his entire kingdom. Robbie, why are you so passionate about this? Why are we holding on to this part of Saul's life tonight? What is it you want me to understand? I'm glad you asked. The thing about sin is, whether it's the itty bitty bitty sin or the worst sin of all time, is it separates you from God. Another definition, as some would call it, is it's missing the mark. What's that mark? The mark that he has for you. To follow him and listen and be obedient to him. I remember I was reading through the Ten Commandments and thinking about, you know, oh, here's these, all the different Ten Commandments, and follow them. And I remember I used to look at the Ten Commandments or even the Bible, if I'm being totally honest with you. I'm really being really super open today, but if I'm being really honest, I used to look at the Bible like, oh, it's just a bunch of list of do's or don'ts. Don't raise your hand because I don't want, you know, but I mean, if you ever had that thought, just a list of do's or don'ts. I can do this, I can't do that. I can do this, I can't do that. It would be frustrating to me, but I began reading it, and God began showing me, like, Robbie, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's things that are going to hurt you and separate you. You know, it said it leads to sin that leads to death, and it's like, well, I've sinned before, and I didn't die. It's not just a physical death, although sin will cause us all to have a physical death at some point in time. But it's also a spiritual death that basically moves you further and further from having relationship with God. Sin will keep us from serving God faithfully. And if you're hungry, like really passionate and hungry for a relationship with Christ, then everything in you should strive to be obedient to the things that he's asking of you. That's why I'm sure if you've gone to one night of youth group ever in your life, you have heard this at least once, if not a million times. It's like, read your Bible, get into your Bible. Man, let your Bible, the more you begin to read it, the more it begins to read you. This thing's living and powerful. Oh, you gotta, why? Because it's God's word speaking to you, leading you, guiding you to be obedient to what he has for you so that he can protect you from being hurt by the effects of sin. Well, Robbie, I feel like you're talking about two different sins here. One that I am a sinner and the one that there's sinful things I can do. I am. They're kind of one and the same, but they're a little different. But the beauty of it is this. The penalty of sin and death, it's already been paid. When you begin to follow Christ, what he did on that cross, giving his life as a sacrifice and being raised 3 days later, we're going to talk about that more this week. There was something powerful that came. That when you follow Christ, when you're legitimately going, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ, meaning this is what I believe and I want to be in this, reading this, understanding this. When you make that decision, if you choose to make that decision, there's healing, there's forgiveness, there's mercy. He takes all of that sin and shame and pain upon himself for you. Some of you have done that. Others, you're going to have an opportunity to tomorrow night. You know, I wasn't going to go this direction towards the end, but during worship, a powerful moment, you know, we're sitting there worshiping God and kind of standing there. Some of us have our eyes closed. Some of us have our hands up. Some of us are sitting just so beautifully to ourselves, just listening and singing. And if you remember his words, he said, if you just take your hands like this, and if you just have any brokenness, and I sat there, I went, oh, that is so good. Here's my challenge for you tonight. What are some of the things you're going through that you know, like I said earlier, you know and your knower are separating you from God? Or are causing you, a better way to say it, I like this way a little better, are causing you to miss the mark. Or here's even another way. It's probably my second favorite way to say it. Missing the mark of what God has for you, number one. Number two, what would that be? It's causing you, instead of being obedient to Christ and his word, you've allowed yourself in certain areas to be disobedient. And I don't need to get a chalkboard and write them all out one by one and go, which one's yours? Pick it. Just begin to think about it right now. What is that for you? Maybe it's when you're at church and youth group. You know, you're kind of in the front row. You got your hands up. You're singing. You know all the songs by heart. But man, when you are back home and you are in school, if we could follow you there and go to your best friend who hangs out with you at school and go, hey, tell me about your friend. She's a real good Christian, follows God, right? No, perfect, no sin in her life. They'd be like, what? I don't know, man, but she cusses up a storm. I don't even know she went to church. Why'd you bring that one up, Robbie? Because that was me. When I would go to church, oh man, I'd have all the songs memorized. I'd be asking the youth pastor, can I do announcements on stage? And at school, I'd get there, and it'd almost be just like that pressure Saul felt. Oh, do I wait like God wants me to do, or do I just do it myself? It'd be like, dude, do I just go over to that crowd and just make a really dirty joke on purpose because all my friends would laugh and I'd be more cool? Do you know how often I've done things that were disobedient to what God wanted me to do just so that I could fit in? Why? Because I'm just like Saul. Sometimes some of us in this room, we're just like Saul. We have a fear of what people think of us that removes us from, remember last night we got into this? Our actual fear of God. I want to dive back into that for 2 seconds. Well, maybe like 64 seconds. When you understand who God is and what he's created you for, and how much he loves you and how much he wants to use you to reach people, to bring glory to his name and to give you just a life that won't necessarily be easy, but a life that will be fruitful and impactful. And you can really begin to have that type of a fear of who he is. It's not this scared runaway fear, but it's a, oh God, you are God. You are so amazing. I just want to, I'm not perfect and I might miss the mark, but I'm going to come right back after you because I want to follow you and I want to live for you. When you begin to have that, oh, the fear of people will begin to fade. Rob, you seem kind of passionate about that. I am, because I wish I would have believed it if someone would have told me when I was your age. Because I look at my two kids and they're little in my mind. I just go, God, if I do anything right, they will fear you in the most amazing way and love you and not care what other people think. Now, let me almost sound like I'm talking out of the side of my mouth. I know how hard it is to live in this culture with people that are just rotten, with the things that they say about you and what they call you and how much pressure they put on you to do things that if you actually do follow God and act obedient, they make it the hardest thing in the world for you. I know that. I've been doing student ministries for 15, 16 years. I've watched it. I've watched it get worse and worse and worse. There's a time like 4 years ago that I think was the actual worst, but you know what I'm talking about. What do you say? What I'm saying is I know what you're going through. What? You've walked on a middle school campus and gotten teased? No, okay, I haven't done that in quite a long time. But I have a brain, and I can see, and I can talk to people, and I have what they call empathy. And I can tell you, I know what it must feel like. Ladies, when other girls are literally being mean girls to the point where you try to, but you just want to break down and cry. And we can laugh a little, but it's not funny. I'm just being honest. The point where you want to break down and cry because they've literally learned to pick you apart to make you feel like nothing. And that breaks my heart. Because if you could really get a hold of who God is and what he has for you, you wouldn't care what they think. You wouldn't care what they say. you're flashy. It would hurt a little bit, but you go, I know who God is in my life. I know the real friends I have in my life. I have real people that love me, that care about me. I have a God who thinks I'm amazing, who created me in his image. Fellas, same, different, different style. Be tough, be strong, be athletic. The new one that is so prominent, be academic. What? You're not taking four AP classes? What? You're not in the highest class? You know, it's like, and this pressure comes on us. And in this pressure, there's all these little things, from the smallest itty-bitty sin to the largest one that just says, walk in disobedience to God. Do what makes you feel good. Go with the crowd. And my heart tonight is that we could all take a deep look at our lives. And if we could be honest enough to say, God, what is it in me, in my sin nature, that isn't of you, that you want me to take a good long look at? And my hope is that you all would do that tonight. And if you could have enough courage, be able to talk about it in your small groups tonight. I mean, real open and broken. Hey, here's what I'm going through. Hey, here's what I've done. Hey, here's what. You have some leaders who love you, who want to talk with you. You might not even realize that there's probably a couple people in your group that are going through some of the same issues you're going through. Now you guys can link arms and go, man, let's walk side by side in obedience to God together. So that's my challenge for you tonight. Would you be open and honest enough to take a real look at you? Not the fake, I'm just going to act perfect. I'm perfect. I don't have sin. I just kind of was born that way. It's in my genes. It's my genetics. I can't tell you what it is. I wish I sinned a little bit, but I don't. I'm just perfect. It's hard sometimes to be perfect. Oh my gosh. You should try it sometime. It's hard. And throw that mask in the trash, the trashola. Crumple it up, chuck it, and go, God, you and me, is there anything in me that separated me from you? Or I don't like that way. I don't like saying it that way. Is there anything in me that is displeasing to you, that is disobedient to you? And if there is, be willing to surrender to him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I don't know where everybody's at tonight, but we all are walking our own journey. We're all in a different place in life. And tonight, God, I've put out a real bold question. That these amazing students listening to your word, watching the life of Saul, who, Father, was disobedient to you, taking the life of Saul, realizing that his sin nature and the pressures he went through, God, we're just like him. And all of us, whether it's super, super small, or maybe it's even a little bigger, but maybe there's things in us that are disappointing you, or just, man, they're just disobedient to you, God. And we want to be honest enough to bring it to the table so that we could surrender it to you. And I pray that we could have that kind of honesty tonight. And that we could rest assured that you don't love us any different. That you're sitting there wanting and willing to take away our sin, take away our shame, take away our pain. That you want us to run into your arms and not continue to hide it and run away from you. That there could be some honesty tonight. That you would bring the sin to light, so that it could be destroyed, or it could be surrendered, that it could be let go. Father, there might even be some that there could be some healing that could take place by letting it go. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I'm excited for tomorrow, guys.